beach and the World Wide Web. You're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Coming to you live with kindred spirits from around the world. I'm the founder of Wisdom Evolution and head cheerleader for the You First Revolution, encouraging you to put you at the top of your priority list. Choose you first, hashtag you matter. You can pop on over to my website at VickiDobbs.com to find out more about the programs I offer and sign up for my Friday Wisdom Whispers newsletter, and my printable journal, just for you listeners who love to take notes, record those aha moments or questions you have, even write down those little whispers of wisdom that float by on the wind. I'd love to have you join our circle. Using shamanic wisdom and sacred tools is my go-to practice when I find myself lost in all my busy, when I forget to put me at the top of my to-do list. Remember, choosing you first is not a selfish act. It's an act of self-preservation that allows you to gift the world with the best of you, not just what is left of you. And a little housekeeping note. For those of you listening live, you can call your questions in to my guest at 1-800-555-5453. That's 1-800-555-5453. And now I'm excited to introduce you to my guest today, the practical shaman, Renee Barabeau. She is a spiritual leader and podcaster with a gift for translating ancient wisdom for modern readers. As a Nautilus award-winning author of Winds of Spirit, Renee captured readers with her profound insights and pragmatic shamanic tools, reclaimed from the mythology and living teachings of diverse indigenous and ancient cultures around the world. She is a co-host of the highly regarded podcast, The Shaman's Cave, with Sandra Ingerman, and her ability to connect with a wide range of audiences on a deep level has earned her a reputation as a respected authority on spiritual and personal growth. Welcome, Renee. Thank you so much for saying yes to my show.
Hi, Vicki. It's nice to be here and to all the listeners out there. And that saying yes to yourself is not a selfish act. I love that.
Thank you so much. And you know, we just got a short hour today, and it always seems to go fast. So I'm just going to get the ball rolling and say, I'd love to know how you got the name as the Practical Shaman.
I do marketing in my day job, and I think that I've always been the cross between the spirit and the mundane, and so where those two spaces intersect is practical, and I'm very practical, and, you know, as much as I can reach into the heavens for an answer, I always want to know, like, how's this going to grow corn? How am I going to use this in my life? How does this matter? So I was an early adopter of the internet, and so the Practical Shaman was probably, you know, a great grab at that time, because later on in my life I realized practical and shaman were kind of redundant. They mean the same thing. You know, shamans were the practical ones in the community. They cared about the longevity of their people, how the crops were growing, the animals, and from a shamanic perspective, they were the magicians, and they could step out of that ordinary reality to make real positive change or change happen in non-ordinary time. And so I do that.
Oh, I think that's fabulous. And I love that early internet adopter. And I, I remember when we heard about this thing called the web and something called a domain name, and get it now because, you know, 20 years down the road, it might be worth something.
So, I know. Although I've stopped paying for a lot of them because I'm there like, you know what? It's not an investment I care to keep up, and now I'm just narrowing it down to the ones I actually use.
I am, too. How did we get to 40 or 50 domain names? You know, that impulse of, oh, I should get that. I can forward it, too.
I know. I always tell my young boss, and they're like, well, we had the idea first. Look at, we own the domain name.
Right. Oh, that's cool. Yeah. So what first drew you to the winds all over the world and the discovery of the wind as such a powerful spiritual tool?
Well, being practical, it certainly wasn't it was a practical route into some ancient wisdom. And when I started, I had no clue as to where I was heading. And, you know, certainly I still don't know where we're going to end up, but, you know, we're somewhere in the beginning stages of it, like about 10 years in. But I have a feeling the winds are here to speak for, you know, the next 100 years. But this was just a reentry of their message. And I was listening, but I wasn't exactly hearing it correctly. I was walking along the coast of an island where I live up in the Pacific Northwest, and all of a sudden, this Douglas fir started talking to me. And I was there, you want me to put the wind in my book? And at the time I thought, like a lot of people, that I was writing that coaching handbook that that would be the business card of my business. And I
right.
had no clue that I was about to engage a whole energy system that had been really lost to humanity for, you know, eons. And so I just kept following the breadcrumb trail. And I thought first that the wind was a metaphor. And a good one, but a metaphor. You know, I started with the Mary Poppins and the Sherlock Holmes and the Bible. And I thought, like, well, this is kind of curious how often the wind is mentioned in relationship to our life situation. And the more I started to explore, the more I realized that the wind was here first. The wind was
yeah.
here at the dawn of creation. It was the mover of creation. And that it was the various religions that borrowed from the wind to claim, you know, their stake. Like Holy Spirit's a wind, Ruach is a wind, Nirvana is a no wind, Om is the wind of the sound of things passing through. And so we borrowed from the wind to explain life. And that's what shamanism is all about. It's about direct revelation. So in its finest, people were directly revealing, the wind was directly revealing people the information that they needed all throughout civilization to organize their communities and to survive.
Oh, that's beautiful. And I love what you wrote in Chapter 3, that all life on Earth begins and ends with wind or breath. And that feels so profound and yet so simple, and is actually what you're just explaining.
Absolutely. You know, you take that first, you know, you come out of the womb, the first thing you do is you take a gulp in of wind, you know,
yeah.
the air, the moving breath. And when you leave, you know, your body expels that wind, that spirit, that life force of you, leaves on that last breath. And it's really simple and it's really profound. And once you realize, and many of your listeners probably do, that nature isn't something out the window. You are nature. And you are as much a part of the wind as the wind is a part of you. And once we really grasp that, you know, for years people say, oh, we're all connected. We're all, and I was like, blah, 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 you know, make me gag. Until I realized that it was through our wind breath that we were all connected.
Yeah.
The same wind that I'm breathing out today is going to reach my new friend in Romania in a few short days. And so what am I breathing out? What am I manifesting? What am I putting out onto the wind? It really matters.
And so it's like that when you write about the wind being a spirit, that wind and spirit are synonymous, as you write, that expressed in poetry, ancient ballads, storytelling, and shared rituals. And I love that, because we call in the wind when we do ceremony, or we ask it to leave us alone if we happen to be doing fire ceremony and don't want to blow sparks around. And it's a living entity that once you have realized that you are connected with, you can have conversations, you can play with each other.
Absolutely. I just walked the El Camino, and I'm sure that's reflecting how my conversation is going to change here. And when I would call to the wind for, like, our opening ceremony for the group, you know, like, jaws always drop, that the wind comes. When you have a relationship with the wind, it comes when you call it. And I think for years when I was at, you know, in my shamanic training and things like that, and we'd be calling in to open the directions with the wind, it never occurred to me that I knew we were calling to spirit, but I didn't actually know that this living embodied spirit of the wind would show up and be part of the group. And now I know that is true, because I've just seen it over and over and over again. And when you call to the winds, they want to help you. They want to be here. And the winds in the book, they come to help us at this transformational time that we're in. And, you know, it's a nature time that we're in, as well as all of the hubbub going on in the world. It's nature cycles through its own experience. And we're at the time where of a death and decay of an epoch, and the winds always have come throughout history at this time to help us reorganize and reevaluate our lives.
Kind of like when the doors open and suddenly a gust of wind blows all the papers off your desk, and as you sort through them and pick them up off the floor, you realize how many of them you didn't really need, and they find their way to the circular file.
Absolutely. And there's a wind, a Roman wind called Cardia, and she's the Roman wind of hinges, and she opens what's shut and shuts what's open. And so, you know, other cultures, other times, they recognized that there was more to these winds than, you know, meets the kiss on your cheek, that they really had jobs to do. They really had... They had their duty.
So every wind that you talk about in the book, and I know that the ideas here are rooted in ancient sailing practices, and is that how you got started working with the wind? Are you a sailor?
You know, I sailed at Girl Scout camp when I was a kid, but
yeah.
You know what I realized now is that they actually go back before the sailors, for sure. It was the sailors who learned to use the wind and coordinated, you know, the compass as, you know, a way to guide themselves. But they were all rooted in wind directions and wind points. And so the wind has been the ever-present force on this planet. But the sailors, and probably in Greece, when they really started to put language to concepts more than before, really started to identify how these points were and where they were coming from in order to navigate the sea.
Oh, that's there's such a rich history behind what you write that I've listened to the Audible book, and I'm now working my way through the paperback, because there's such depth to the research, the knowledge that's in this book. It's almost like a wind reference.
I call it like the Bible of the wind, although I'm working on a deck of oracle cards right now.
Yeah.
And I'm finding more winds that I didn't know about. Like, I just was mentioning that I met a woman from Romania who was on the El Camino walk with us. And so I wanted to know, you know, what her winds were. And so this week I did some research into the Romanian wind, and I found, sure enough, you know, they had a whole story about their winds, and, you know, the ancient stories about this wind is about that it had the duality of both the good and the not so good in it. And so the more I go, the more winds I'm finding. And I really would tell my students that I had a couple of apprentices for 2 years. And what I told them was that the more people who were holding this knowledge, the more it would uncover and the more we would learn. And
right.
So the allele, the Romanian allele, they had a wind spirit. And so I'm learning that, and I keep uncovering more, and I think that that's fascinating.
I think so, too. I certainly was drawn to all of the different winds. I mean, in my mind, the wind has always been the wind. I love the wind. I would stand out in the wind. But I never thought about there being so many entities of wind. It's almost like there are people, there are winds.
Absolutely. And I think that cross-culturally, if you look at it, that, you know, the people in Polynesia needed a different wind spirit than they needed in Romania, or that they needed in Poland, or that they needed in, you know, in France. So that what happened was that the regionalization of these came because of, you know, what the landscape looked like, what the people needed, what was going on at that time for those people. But interestingly enough, even as I'm exploring new winds, they have different archetypes, different experiences that they're offering us to look at ourselves. And I think that that part is fascinating, that I don't you think wind is wind, right? Well, there's Mara, who's the wind of death, and then there's, you know, this new wind god, Bantoes, who's of duality. And, I mean, they don't really overlap. There might be some overlapping qualities, but each of them has their own principle.
And going through your book, you really begin to see that it's kind of like all the animals of the world each have their own personality and actually principles and the ways that they live. And we've long associated animals with being co-habitants but also co-creators with us on this earth. And I'd never thought about the wind as being more than the wind. And so it's a fascinating read. It's not a fast read because it's almost as though every page I have to read twice because there's such depth to what you've written. It truly is a beautiful work of research and fascinating. I have to say I'm totally reconnecting to the wind. And
that's great.
Go ahead.
I always tell people once they meet me, they'll never look at the wind again the same.
Exactly, and I think that, you know, your title for chapter one is The Goal of the Awakened Self, and I've listened to the wind for many, many years just as something that came naturally for me, but I think for me this was such an eye-opener because now I don't just listen to the wind, I listen for which wind and what wind I'm listening to, and it really has opened a different portal for me, one that it's a connection for me to creativity. When I need an extra boost, I can sit outside under the cottonwood tree and listen to the whispers of the wind. pull myself back to whatever it is I'm wanting to write.
I love that.
Yeah.
You know, and shamanism is a path of direct revelation. But we want, I think we had enough time and resources and vacation time and all that to complicate it as best we could. I just think we're at a time now where we really need to simplify and get back to our roots and community.
Absolutely. To bring back, we as shamanic practitioners, we are often overheard saying, you know, connected to the nature spirits and connected to this. But in reality, it isn't a practice or a job. It's a way of living. And again, you know, your book has opened that doorway just a little bit wider for me, and as it had begun to close a little bit. And when I come back, I want to talk to you about what inspired you to write Winds of Spirit. And we have to take that ever short break here, so don't go anywhere, folks. This is Vicki Dobbs with Renee Barabeau, and we will be right back talking about the Winds of Spirit.
It's time. Time for you. Sometimes we set aside our own wants and needs for others, and that's okay as long as you take care of yourself first. It's like putting the oxygen mask on yourself before your child. The same applies to life. But it is hard in such a busy world. But no worries. Vicki Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, helps you every step of the way. Everybody needs help, and here is yours. Get your copy of Vicki Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf at VickiDobbs.com, Amazon.com, or anywhere fine books are sold. Learning to tap into the evolution of your own wisdom is hard, but now there's a place you can go where you can find some resources to do just that. VickiDobbs.com. At VickiDobbs.com, not only can you get free resources to help you get connected to Source, but you can find out about Vicki's Sacred Wisdom Workshops, sign up for her blog, or buy her book. Don't pass up this opportunity to discover your evolution of self. Visit VickiDobbs.com. That's VickiDobbs.com. Life is a personal journey. Don't bury yourself under such a busy life that you set your own aside. Vicki Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, uses a blend of ancient wisdom, modern modalities, art and creativity, so you learn to choose you first, which gives the world the very best of you, not just what's left of you. So don't put your head in the sand, do something about it. When you realize you have lost yourself, buried in your busy life, then gift yourself a copy of Vicki Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf, available at your favorite book source and at VickiDobbs.com.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back, folks. This is Vicki Dobbs here with my guest and kindred spirit, Renee Barabeau, and we're talking about her book, Winds of Spirit. So, Renee, I'll ask you, what inspired you to write Winds of Spirit? Where did it come from, besides the wind?
Well, first of all, let me just tell you, when I learned that I was writing a book about the wind, I actually went outside. I was, you know, on one of my mountain trails, and I looked up at the gods in the heavens, and I'm there like, you want me to write a book about what? The wind? People hate the wind. Why on earth should, you know, I wanted to write a book that was going to be popular and going to make me famous. What on earth am I doing writing a book about the wind? And they just laughed at me and said, you know, you opened a restaurant before it was time and you had a healing arts center before it was time. Yeah, we were just teaching you patience because this is going to be the thing that is going to test your patience the most, is writing a book about the wind.
Wow. Talk about direct revelation and kind of a gift that you didn't know was in the making.
It's true. Even some of the people who came along to, you know, the first students, like one of my assistants who was with me for a few years, she hated the wind. She said,
wow.
And when she finally realized what that was all about, it was because one time when she was a kid, she was riding in a car, somebody gave her a dollar bill, and she was so excited, she shared it, you know, with the air, and the wind snatched it. And
yeah.
So a lot of the students who have come over the years have been really resistant to, you know, this wind calling, just like me. But one of the things that I've learned in my life is what I resist the most will persist and probably have some of the most significant meaning in my life. You know, I've been really creative and talented about a lot of things, but writing wasn't my first natural gift. I wrote in a journal ever since I was a kid, but my finished, polished writing took a lot to get it where it is today. And so this whole thing with this wind was a real challenge, although what I didn't realize was how much I loved to do the research and really snoop out through history, you know, who said what about the wind, and not only who said what, but whose voice it was. Was it a missionary, or was it, you know, like an archaeologist, or who was talking about it, and how could I learn from their perception of what the wind was until I finally realized that the real answers were when I went direct. And that happened by chance with a client who said to me, why don't you call up one of those spirits that you're writing about? And in that moment, she was in New York, I was in California, we called up one of the wind spirits, and they came. And then they started to come. And then they started to show themselves. Like the next week or so, I was doing a teleclass, and I called to Huldah. And all of a sudden, my screen door slammed, the door shut, bang, and it was like, what do you want? And
wow.
So they have their own energy footprints.
Personality.
And we got to meet them over the years.
That's amazing. And so how did you get started writing Winds of Spirit? Were you just cataloging your experiences, or did you set out with a plan and lay out kind of a, this is the writer in me asking, your process of deciding where and which winds would be a part of this?
I think Winds of Spirit was like the third book written, like in terms of where it really ended up. And I had an amazing developmental editor and an amazing spiritual guide who could see what I was receiving before I could. Like, I was getting these downloads of information that I didn't really made absolutely no sense to me in the moment. And as I said, I wasn't a really good writer, so my organizational skills. I mean, the first book cost me, you know, $14,000-$15,000 to get edited because I was such a terrible writer, and I had to learn how to write. So not only was I taking a subject that had been missing off the planet for thousands of years, I had to polish myself as a writer and learn how to, you know, interpret what I was receiving. And so that was kind of the process. So the first book was, I think the first book really started about more about the compass points in the wind. And then, you know, it was an evolution. It wasn't like I just got this and then it was there. I think really when I first started was, once I got the idea of wind as a metaphor, I started researching wind gods and goddesses. And I came up with a list of about 150. And I thought, well, this is really curious that all these people have wind gods and goddesses, and really no one's really talked about them. So then I started, one by one, I put them all out on paper slips, and I started doing some research on them one at a time. And as it turns out, they revealed the order in which I researched them. Like, even the ones that are coming out now, they didn't come out before. They weren't even on my first initial wind slips. And there were some winds that were so mysterious, like Yalana, you know, because in Turkey it's Muslim and it got buried. you know, you can't find much. And then there was the Latvian wind mother, Vehemate, that I called the editor and I said, listen, I can't write about this wind because I can't find any information. And she said, oh, just give it another couple of days. And so the next day I said, okay, I'm going to try Latvian mythology. And sure enough, out of the blue, on the web comes up this 50 or 60 page paper, a thesis in English on Latvian mythology with no author.
Wow.
And it was the only thing on this Latvian website in English, and it gave me enough of the foundation to do the rest of the research on it, enough to come up with it. And he was like the last wind in the book. But surprisingly enough, a couple weeks ago, I was working on her wind spirit card, and I'm there like, well, is this how you are? Is this how you want to be portrayed? And much to people, some people like it, some people don't. I've been trying for years to get an artist to do this, and now I'm co-creating it with AI, which is just like the wind. It's like that new. And so it's kind of a really fascinating process. But right after I finished, I'm there, is this okay? Do you like this? I got an order on my website for a wind whistle to ship to Latvia. And it was to Estonia. But it was the very first time. I mean, where is Estonia? And I looked, and it was the very first time I'd ever gotten an order in that part of the country. So
that's for sure one of those signs that we all look for in validating what we're doing. And I'm just loving your storytelling, Renee. And everybody, we have to take a quick break here, so hang in, and we will be right back. This is Vicki Dobbs with Renee Baribeau, and we're talking about the winds of spirit.
Life is a personal journey. Don't bury yourself under such a busy life that you set your own aside. Vicki Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, uses a blend of ancient wisdom, modern modalities, art and creativity, so you learn to choose you first, which gives the world the very best of you, not just what's left of you. So don't put your head in the sand, do something about it. When you realize you have lost yourself, buried in your busy life, then gift yourself a copy of Vicki Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf, available at your favorite book source and at VickiDobbs.com. Learning to tap into the evolution of your own wisdom is hard, but now there's a place you can go where you can find some resources to do just that. VickiDobbs.com. At VickiDobbs.com, not only can you get free resources to help you get connected to Source, but you can find out about Vicki's Sacred Wisdom Workshops, sign up for her blog, or buy her book. Don't pass up this opportunity to discover your evolution of self. Visit VickiDobbs.com. That's VickiDobbs.com. It's time. Time for you. Sometimes we set aside our own wants and needs for others, and that's okay as long as you take care of yourself first. It's like putting the oxygen mask on yourself before your child. The same applies to life. But it is hard in such a busy world. But no worries. Vicki Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, helps you every step of the way. Everybody needs help, and here is yours. Get your copy of Vicki Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf at VickiDobbs.com, Amazon.com, or anywhere fine books are sold.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back, folks. This is Vicki Dobbs here with my guest in Kindred Spirit, Renee Baribeau, talking about her book, Winds of Spirit. And there's so many great stories in this book, Renee, and so many different winds to learn about. I wonder if you might just touch on the concept of these wind spirits and their significance in our daily lives.
Absolutely. The wind, like myself, is a very practical tool. And you can use it, there's so many ways, and this during this segment we'll do a little exercise. so you can get a firsthand taste of the wind. But one of the things that I've learned to do is I take wind walks. That's what we call them, for windspirations. And what you do is you walk to your door, and this is requires outside. Unless you're homebound, you could do it, you know, with a window open. But it does require the in and the outside. And you go to the door, and you open it, and you walk with a question. In fact, when I was just walking the El Camino, I walked with a new question every day. And I had pulled a wind spirit for the entire trip for me was Tate, the wind, the messenger wind. And I was getting messages almost as quick as that I would ask for them. And you'll be able to read about that in this new mini book that I'm writing right now. It should be out this fall. And, but the windspirations come like when you start to listen. So you go outside, and you can try this later. You ask a question like, what do I need to know for my work week, for example? And then you wait until you get a little feeling of the wind on your cheek, and then you start to walk. And then you look for signs. Like when I was on the El Camino, I was asking, what would it look like if I was more a part of a certain kind of a community? And I turned the corner, and I saw a pack of sheep. And this herd had this sheep runner with a bell on it. And I realized that in order to follow the sheep with the bell, that I would have to change up a little bit. I'd have to, you know, move with the pack. I'd have to start when they were starting. It was like, it's that kind of simple information that we're looking for out in nature. And as humans, we want to complicate it. Oh, no, that can't be that simple. Well, it really is. And I'm just like, okay, well, that answer's good, and I can move on to my next question. So these wind walks are a practice that I've really added as an integral part of my my spiritual practice, and it's really simple and so easy to do.
Do you take a journal with you, or do you record, or you just bring back what's important to remember?
It's really funny. It's funny you're asking, because I'm working on this 11-11 insights from my journey on the El Camino, because I walked for 11 days and I kept seeing 11 everywhere I went. And I thought to myself, like, I journaled one day, and then the rest of the time I did a morning Instagram post every day, which was about a minute and a half. And so those were like those gave me the guidance, and I took a lot of pictures. Like, before, when we were journaling a lot, we didn't necessarily have our iPhones to record. So one of the things that's helping me fill in all of the backstories in this book I'm writing is the pictures, because they're dated. And then I can remember from the photograph of what was going on, what was I thinking about, and all of that, which, you know, for some other people, journaling might be the thing. But over the years, my journaling has waned with all of these other new methods of tracking information for myself.
Yeah, I have found the same thing. The microphone and the notes app on my phone are really getting full. I have to buy big storage phones, because I take notes.
Yeah, there was
on
a woman that we walked with who did a lot of note taking that way. I just took pictures and said, these will help me put the story back together when I go to write it.
Right, right. So how do the different wind archetypes that you describe in your book help individuals connect with their inner selves, with their own inner wisdom?
So in the Wind Clan, which is on Facebook, a group you can join, there's a group of us who pull a wind a month for the year, and then there's a wind spinner, so you can get a wind to walk with today. Everyone always loves to go to the quality and the archetype. And one of the things that really I encourage people to do, and even if you have the Winds of Spirit book, which I urge you all to have, the reading is beautiful, too. He did an amazing job. But you can open to the back. It's like an oracle. And you can get a wind for the day or a week, or, you know, for a situation. And then instead of you know, you can read it, but instead of looking at the quality that I've assigned to it, you can call to that wind spirit, and that wind will come and work with you. Like Kate, who gave me messages as soon as I asked the question, all along the trip. All I needed to do was be able to read the signs, and they were, I mean, there were hundreds of them.
Wow. That sounds
well,
like
I was going to give you, well, sorry.
That's okay, go ahead.
I was going to give you an example of a short exercise that you can do when you have a thought on your mind that, you know, a nagging thought that you want to remove or that's really bothering you. Is this a good time to do that exercise?
Absolutely.
Okay. So there's a wind in the book that we use for this exercise because she's very visual. It's Madame Feng Popo. She is... She's a Chinese wind, and she rides on the back of the tiger. So if you close your eyes, you can already visualize yourself you can visualize that here's this wind spirit who rides on the back of the tiger, and she comes down. She carries a wind sack, this old leathery wind sack, and what we work with her to do is to remove thoughts that are plaguing us. So, well, how you do it is you close your eyes and you write the thought on the air. Because remember, we're in the air. So, say you have a thought about too much to do today, for example. So write too much to do in the air. Because a lot of times when we have too much to do, it really stresses us out. So, we're going to do that. Then, we're going to call to Madame Feng Popo, who's going to come down on her wind tiger, and she's going to gather up all of these thoughts we're writing on the air, because remember, we're all connected through the wind, so she can do it efficiently, and she's going to come gather them all. We're going to tie that wind bag, and we're going to take it out beyond the furthest galaxy and transmute it with love and light. Are you ready?
Ready.
All right. So I invite you, you might want to stand up. If it's easy, if you're driving, you know, you can do this later. But what's plaguing you right now? Write it on the air. And I'm going to call to Madame Feng Popo, and you're going to hear my wind whistle. And she's going to come on down and start to gather up those thoughts. Imagine her gathering that big, heavy sack now, because it's heavy with all of these thoughts we have, and we're tying it, and she's going to throw it over her shoulder, and the tiger is going to take her out beyond the furthest galaxy. And as a group, let's send love and light and transmute this energy to dissolve into time and space and feel yourself as light. And so it is.
And so it is. Thank you so much. And on that, we have to take a short break. So hang tight. We'll be right back with Renee and the Winds of Spirit.
Learning to tap into the evolution of your own wisdom is hard, but now there's a place you can go where you can find some resources to do just that. VickiDobbs.com. At VickiDobbs.com, not only can you get free resources to help you get connected to Source, but you can find out about Vicki's Sacred Wisdom Workshops, sign up for her blog, or buy her book. Don't pass up this opportunity to discover your evolution of self. visit VickyDobbs.com. That's VickyDobbs.com. It's time. Time for you. Sometimes we set aside our own wants and needs for others, and that's okay as long as you take care of yourself first. It's like putting the oxygen mask on yourself before your child. The same applies to life. But it is hard in such a busy world. But no worries. Vicki Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, helps you every step of the way. Everybody needs help, and here is yours. Get your copy of Vicki Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf at VickiDobbs.com, Amazon.com, or anywhere fine books are sold. Life is a personal journey. Don't bury yourself under such a busy life that you set your own aside. Vicki Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, uses a blend of ancient wisdom, modern modalities, art and creativity, so you learn to choose you first, which gives the world the very best of you, not just what's left of you. So don't put your head in the sand, do something about it. When you realize you have lost yourself, buried in your busy life, then gift yourself a copy of Vicki Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf, available at your favorite book source and at VickiDobbs.com.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back, everybody, to Kindred Spirits with Vicki Dobbs here and my guest, Renee Baribeau. And, wow, that was an awesome exercise, Renee. I really appreciate you sharing that. And folks, you can hear the replays of this anytime at HealthyLife.net Radio, archived in Vicki Dobbs. And I will try to transcribe a little of this later today and have it available for you on all our different social media sites. Renee, thank you. That's a wonderful exercise to just, in the moment, lighten the load.
It really does, and it really, really works. And it works at all different levels. One time I was at a conference, and it was the addiction professionals, and this guy had this amazing experience, like very transformative moment. And so it could work in a moment on a simple thought, or it could be really good for clearing something that's plaguing you by doing it over and over and over again.
And I love that writing, the giveaway for the wind, putting it out there in the ethers. It really is, I could feel the energy move from me. And that was beautiful. I'm so grateful for your time. And what are your hopes, Renee, for the future of the wind work in spiritual and healing communities? I sure have felt the value in it talking with you.
I think that the future is that more and more people are starting to embrace it, and globally. And that's the important thing. I've been teaching in England, and so taking it across the pond, and because the wind will reveal more to us the more people who are able to hold the energy. I didn't come in fully prepared, ready to hold it all. It wasn't until I had a group of 20 apprentices or 30 more apprentices, and there was 50 people holding the work that it really started to become more fully embodied. And so my hope is that more people will come along and more people will share it in their communities, and, that it will continue to take hold throughout the world, because we certainly need to have our relationship with nature restored.
Do you teach people about working with the wind? Do you have classes or online, virtually, in person?
I do both. There's the windwork.org is a site with all my recorded classes. I teach, also you can go to thepracticalshaman.com and see what's coming up currently. As you know, I've been doing the Shaman's Cave for the last 6 years with Sandra Ingerman. And, I've given a lot of insights away on there. And what I'm working on is some new programs this fall to come out. I'm going to be doing a Windwork Basics, which is really a profound starting place, because remember, this is new information and you haven't heard it this way. And so I really suggest, if you're thinking about, you know, you can go take the Windwork Basics as a evergreen course, or you could join my mailing list. And when you do join my mailing list, if you go over to thepracticalshaman.com, you'll get a really great journey about going into the cave of lost power to reclaim yourself. And it's a wind journey as well, because I always weave the wind into all my journeys. So that's kind of some new work too. So definitely go over and sign up to be on my mailing list. And I'm in a period of writing, so I know the Oracle cards are next. It's going to be a deck of 64 cards, and there's going to be the cardinal winds, the intercardinal winds, the no winds, the regional winds, like 44 of them, and then there's going to be wind intensities. And so I'm very excited about that project. That's been about 10 years in the making, and it's finally time. So the more students, the more people who embrace this, the more the winds will reveal themselves to us in a way that's not just devastating, but empowering.
Are you teaching people to go out and teach about the winds in the world?
So the two-year wind apprenticeship program gave those students, there were certain practices that they were able to teach, and I'm actually going back and teaching my apprentices some death and dying work coming up soon. And if you're an advanced shamanic practitioner, and if you'd like to learn about that, there's a class on July 13th, but you'd have to message me, and I'd have to know that you take the Windwork Basics online before you enter that. But there's going to be, I'm trying to figure out the best way to teach people forward to teach, but there's several of my students from those two-year programs are out there teaching, and that really makes my heart sing.
That's the greatest compliment you can have in the world, is to have somebody pass along the wisdom that's been shared with you and keep it moving. And so please check out Renee's website at thepracticalshaman.com and go check out the, windwork.org. So one is .com.
And you can get the windwork.org from thepracticalshaman.com. It says evergreen on-demand classes. And it'll take you over there. So just remember thepracticalshaman.com, and it'll get you everywhere you need to go.
That's great. Renee, thank you so much. And I'm hoping everybody will go out there and get a copy of Winds of Spirit. And having seen one of your cards on Facebook, I'm excited about your deck of cards coming out. And remember to check out my website at VickiDobbs.com, or find me on social media at Vicki L. Dobbs Author on most of the platforms. I'm not a teenager, so I haven't gotten into some of the newer stuff, but I'm out there on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest, and some of the others. So there is always a free gift available when you sign up for my weekly Wisdom Whispers Food for Thought and other occasional little bits of wisdom and wit. And we had a great event in Arizona earlier this month. It was called Write with the Whispers of the Wind. So I'm looking forward to hosting it virtually in the next month or two, so stay tuned for updates on that. And my newly under construction podcast, which is in the works but not out there yet, Wisdom Whispers from the Pen's Magic Spell. This is Vicki Dobbs, founder of Wisdom Evolution, reminding you that it's time for you to give yourself permission to be first in your world, to put you on your own calendar, and to choose you first. You have a right to be happy. Remember, hashtag you matter. Have a wonder-filled week traveling down happy trails. Till we meet again, this is Vicki Dobbs saying thank you to Renee Barabo and the Winds of Spirit for an awesome show. Catch you on the flip side next month. And until then, keep on keeping on.
Life is a personal journey. Don't bury yourself under such a busy life that you set your own aside. Vicki Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, uses a blend of ancient wisdom, modern modalities, art, and creativity so you learn to choose you first, which gives the world, the very best of you, not just what's left of you. So don't put your head in the sand, do something about it. When you realize you have lost yourself, buried in your busy life, then gift yourself a copy of Vicki Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf, available at your favorite book source and at VickiDobbs.com. It's time. Time for you. Sometimes we set aside our own wants and needs for others, and that's okay as long as you take care of yourself first. It's like putting the oxygen mask on yourself before your child. The same applies to life. But it is hard in such a busy world. But no worries. Vicki Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, helps you every step of the way. Everybody needs help, and here is yours. Get your copy of Vicki Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf at VickiDobbs.com, Amazon.com, or anywhere fine books are sold. Learning to tap into the evolution of your own wisdom is hard, but now there's a place you can go where you can find some resources to do just that. VickiDobbs.com. At VickiDobbs.com, not only can you get free resources to help you get connected to Source, but you can find out about Vicki's Sacred Wisdom Workshops, sign up for her blog, or buy her book. Don't pass up this opportunity to discover your evolution of self. Visit VickiDobbs.com. That's VickiDobbs.com.
Where positive people and radio unite. HealthyLife.net.